appreciate so very much the opportunity to be here with you and to worship with you. I appreciate the opportunity to sing and to be involved in lifting up one another as we honor and glorify the God of heaven. I'd like to begin this morning in a very special way by asking if you will cooperate with me. I'd like for all the teenagers in our whole audience, most of them are seated right here, but I'd like for them, along with Bill and Jared, to stand and let us see all the teenagers in the room. Do we have any teenagers in the room? Y'all stand and just let us see you. We probably have some others. Yes, we have some back in this area, some back in the very back. This is an exceedingly special group, and they deserve some special attention. Thank you for standing up. I know that's a tad embarrassing for you, but I appreciate it so very much. This morning, I want to share some things with you that I hope will help all of us think about this group in a very special way. Those of us that have children and grandchildren who are teenagers, I want to talk with you this morning. And then I want to spend the last few minutes talking to our teenagers, and I want all the rest of us to listen and to pay attention. This is an unbelievably great group that we have, and we're blessed in many, many ways to have them and to have them as a part of our congregation here. They are not just the congregation of tomorrow. They are the congregation of today. Most of these people that have stood are members of the body of Christ, and we're very thankful for that. And what we want to do is to recognize that they are a great part of our congregation. They will be, however, very importantly, the leaders of our congregation tomorrow. There are people in this room who are serving as elders that were students when I was a student, or between the time I was a student and teacher, or after I started teaching at Freed Hardeman. And so when we start thinking about that, we're not looking over here thinking, well, this person will be an elder, or this person will be an elder's wife, or this person will be a preacher or a Bible teacher. We're not thinking necessarily about that in those terms today. But what a great blessing it is to have them and to be able to help them grow and to be trained. I read a story about two guys that were talking about one of the guy's parents, and they were asking, the other fellow was asking about his parents, and he said, wow, what an unbelievable thing. He said, I have a dad that works 12 hours a day, and he gives us our home we live in, our car, our food. We take vacations. I'm so thankful Dad works so hard to give us all the things that we have. Well, and I have a mom that just is so great. She feeds us. She keeps us clothed. She does all the great things for us, makes us feel special and loved. And I am so blessed, but I'm worried. And the guy said, you got parents like that and you're worried? What in the world are you worried about? He said, what if they decide to run away? Sometimes we as parents don't know exactly how to do what to do, how to think, what to think. And running away might seem like a good option sometimes, but thanks be to God that we have parents in this room who love their children, grandparents and great-grandparents who love their children, and we have it made. This morning, I want us to think about a teen who cares for yourself and for others. And so I want to start sharing with the rest of this audience, and you folks over here need to understand, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about what the literature says. When we study teenagers, what are the problems that teenagers have? Well, I want to give you a top 10 list this morning. I'm trying to get this to move, and hopefully this will help us. It moved a little too far. Now, I want you to think, I want all of us to think about what these folks that stood are going through. Now, some of them are going through some of these things to a greater degree than others are, but they are all going through these kinds of things. First of all, body image. Wow, when you take a look, I remember Cora growing, and you remember your children growing. I remember my three children growing. And I've said to several people, Cora grew so much in 1 year, it looked like as I would go into her bedroom at night and she would be laying there and we would talk about a few things, it just looked like she was growing before my very eyes. She grew so fast and so much and so quick. And with all of that change in teenagers comes the problem of body image. we have these little precious babies and we think they're angels. And when they get to be teenagers, that cherubic appearance of childhood is gone. And when they look in the mirror, they look at a stranger. It seems like they're becoming larger people. And at first, they're gawky looking to themselves. And they are disproportionate in terms of their body, it seems. It's grown so much and so quickly. Their facial features change. There were times, I promise you this is the truth, when I would look at a group of young people looking for Cora, and I was like, she's not with them. And I start looking over here, and she was there. She changed so much, it's hard for me to pick her out of a group. And so the facial features change, facial hair for the guys. Acne is a problem for about every teenager. If it isn't there, they're pretty blessed. And those are just a few of the body image problems that these people are going through. And if you don't think that's a challenge, those of us that are so old, we may have forgotten what it's like to be a teenager. We ought to remember and understand this is a real problem. A second problem is the search for identity. And this is probably the most important thing that these young people that stood up a few minutes ago, this is probably the most important thing. Who am I? Who am I to myself? Who am I to my family? Who am I to my friends at school? And as we think about this important task, they're faced with a whole lot of anxiety and a lot of insecurity as they reach out there in the world and try to grab hold of a really serious identity. And they are hard at work today, trying to figure out who they are and what they are. Do I look as good as I think I do sometimes? Do I look as good as people tell me I do? Am I as smart as some people think? Do I have really any close friends? We think about those things all the time. Identity is a real problem. And then scheduling work and play is a problem. Teenagers have a lot of stress. You folks that are raising teenagers, you think you have a lot of stress and you think that's it. This group is under a lot of pressure in a lot of ways all the time. They're trying to schedule schoolwork and function. And as we think about this, as they move higher in the age of teenagers, they begin to think about dating. They begin to think about partying. They begin to think about hanging out with friends. They begin vying for attention among each other, within the family, out in culture. And they've got distractions of all kinds. The media is trying to tell them, you need to look a certain way. You need to act a certain way. You need to listen to certain music. You need to go to certain movies. There are tons of distractions in the media. And then some of them want to play sports, and that's their identity. And some of them want to be in music, and that's their identity as they search for that. And what is it that's going to help them reach out and be who they need to be? And then now they have the added problem. You will almost never see one of these teenagers without their phone. And if they've got their phone in their hand, they're pumping. They've got those thumbs moving, and they want to know. It's amazing that, in fact, I'm pretty sure some of them have their phone in their hands right now. But when they start thinking about all of that stuff, you see, that's hard work, and there's pressure, and there's stress. And as we think about high parental expectations, we don't think as parents the amount of pressure that we put on them, how we relay our expectations to them and upon them. As we take a look at some of the concepts here, we expect our teenagers to excel in academics. We want them with good grades. We want them to be the child of our expectations. It may be that if you were an athlete, you're pretty demanding of your child to be an athlete, and you're pushing and you're forcing. If you were a musician, you may be forcing and pushing your children in that direction. We have such high expectations of our young people, and we push them in directions that we want them to go. We expect them to be well-behaved. We expect them to be responsible, not only for themselves, but if they happen to be the oldest in the family, they're expected to be responsible for younger siblings as well. And we want them taking care of all of that in such a way that they're getting accolades from all of those extracurricular activities. And then we add to that parental expectations, social expectations. We're expecting them out in society to act like an adult. We demand of our 15-year-olds, if we're 40 or 45, we demand them to act 40 or 45 instead of permitting them to be 15-year-olds. Do we want them to stay stuck as a 15-year-old? No, we don't. We want them to grow up and we want them to be more mature, but we are so demanding that they act like we act, and they cannot. A 15-year-old is going to be 15 until they are 16. And that's the way life works with us. And when we start thinking about that, we have such high expectations for them to act like an adult with good social skills, good self-help skills, managing work independently, making mature decisions, managing finances, being responsible in any way that we expect and want them to be responsible. There's lots and lots of peer pressure. As those of us who are older could tell them, that doesn't go away. You see, your parents are acting out of peer pressure. They're buying a house because their friend bought a house, or they're getting a new car because their friend got a new car. They're looking for a better job because their friend got a better job. And we want everybody to think we're keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the Sharps or whoever it is. We're demanding. Peer pressure is great. They feel the peer pressure. They feel the need to become more accepted among their peers. They feel the pressure to become more accepted within their families. And when they start thinking about popularity, they look for some channel. Some of you, it's athletics. Some of you, it's music. Some of you, it might be that you're the biggest, toughest thing in town, and you get some acceptance because you're a bully. It might be that you get some acceptance by getting into a gang. You can't develop good, close social friendships on your own, and you see this group over here, so you reach out and you step into that group, and now you're a part of a group, and you're accepted because you go by that group name. And it may be a gang of musicians. It may be a gang of athletes. You see, we're looking for a group to be a part of, and we're looking to be accepted. When you look at our teenagers today, there are lots of teenagers that are in poor health. And they are reaping the benefits of what we do for them as adults sometimes, even though we're trying to do differently and be better. When you think about teen health, the literature will tell you that teen health is at risk. And someone said, it's no wonder that this generation now is the victim of every health problem in the book. And then they said, wonder of wonders. They survive it all. You see, they survive a lot more than we are willing to think about. When you think about their eating habits, these young women are so taught by media, by us as family members. We talk about them being overweight, and we want to be so careful with them that they don't gain 1 ounce, that they are not made sure that we're aware of it, and we let them know that. And so the eating habits of young women are forced toward anorexic kinds of habits. And the look, in order to be popular, you've got to be a model and you've got to be thin. And it just isn't so. And we push and push, and we put that kind of pressure on them. And these boys tend to stuff themselves with unhealthy, fatty, high-calorie junk food. Now, you see, you may be out there and you say, you don't know my mama. Well, I know your mama, and I know your mama's not with you 24/7. And you start thinking about the things that you do, and we are pushing in this particular direction. And then one of the most important things is these young people are looking for role models. I embarrass them sometimes, and I'm pretty sure that's the truth. I'm old, and I don't think like they do. I don't listen to the music they do. I don't go to the movies they go to. And I'm pretty sure I'm an embarrassment to them sometimes. When they might need to introduce me, well, they need a role model. They need somebody that doesn't embarrass them. They want somebody that they can identify with and say, this is the man who preaches to me. This is the man who is a friend to me. They need that. And I need to encourage that in my relationship with them. But they need more than that, because, you see, I'm not with them hardly any compared to the people who are with them at school. They're looking for role models, and they need them. Most of these young people in this room, if not every one of them, really want to be good. They want to do what is right. They want to be what is right. And they're looking for a role model. The social literature about teenagers tells us that in our schools, we find the biggest bully the richest spoiled brat who lords it over everybody else and the one who breaks all the rules. We follow them because they're considered daring and they become among the most popular people. That's what our kids are looking at out there in school. You may think, oh, that's not my kid. Well, it may not be, and I hope it's not. But this is the general rule in our culture today. And so we're looking at all of these problems, and I am hoping that you and I, as parents and grandparents and friends of these teenagers who are older, we understand some of these 10 problems that these teenagers are facing, and we give them maybe a little more encouragement and a little greater place, a little more acceptance, a little more listening, so that we can come to understand them in a better way. And now for just the next few minutes, I want to talk to the teenagers. And I'm going to look at this side, even though I know we've got teenagers scattered throughout. I'm going to look right here because this is where most of them are. First of all, as you think about being a teen who cares, you need to be a teen who cares for yourself. You need to be thoughtful about who you are and what you are and what you seem to be to other people. You really need to be thoughtful about what all of these old people think of you and look at you. And when you begin to take a look at this information that I have before you, it really does start with the things that mom has always taught you. The Proverbs is going to tell you, my son, which means my son and my daughters, do not forget the teachings of your godly parents. They love you. And if you want to think about yourself, you will listen to what the parents have to say to you, and you will take it to heart. You will listen to it, and you will understand that they are thinking about you. When they tell you to go to bed at night, they're not trying to get you to shut off from your friends and trying to get you to not be associated with anybody where you've been pumping that phone all day and whatever other kind of instrument you have to communicate with your friends. They're trying to get you to get enough rest so you can function the way you need to in school the next day, at work the next day, without being grouchy and gripey. Get some sleep. Eat the right food. Get outside and get some exercise. Those of you that watch sports, you know they've tried to use the National Football League to get young people to get outside for an hour and exercise. It'd be good for all of us to get outside an hour every day and exercise. If God has blessed us with the proper ability to do that still physically, we need you young people to care about yourself. Start with listening to godly parents. But then you must listen to what God says if you really, really care about who you are, if you really care about what you are in this world. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, when you begin to think you know more than your parents, when you begin to know so much that you're not willing to listen to anybody, you're not going to care for yourself. Be a teen who cares for yourself. Second, I want you to be a teen that cares for other people. It needs to start with those people that are closest to you. Really care about your mom and dad, who they are, what they are. There are things you can teach your mom and dad. Because you see, those 10 things that we talked about, there are many more for you, but those 10 things that are out there, your parents aren't thinking about you nearly as much as they're thinking about themselves. How much pressure you put on them when you misbehave. How much pressure you put on them when you don't study. How much pressure you put on them when you don't clean up your room when you're asked. They're thinking in those kinds of ways. They're not thinking about the stress and the pressure that you are under. So if you're going to be a teen who cares, care about other people and start with your family. Give them a hearing with an open mind. Treat them with respect and with patience and with kindness. As you think about starting with those closest to you, your family, move to your closest friends. You're sitting by some people that you really care about this morning. Some of your best friends are right here in this room. Some of you have friends, and maybe your best friends, that are not in this room, but you care about them. Think about them and listen to them. And then when you take care of thinking about your family and your closest friends, I'm asking you to reach out to the community as well. Reach out to the helpless and the homeless, those people that need you. Think about all the blessings you have and begin to build a foundation of sharing what you have and who you are with people that have real needs. There are people right here in Chester County who have real needs. You are blessed unbelievably. Care about other people and share. Here's how Jesus says it. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Care about other people. And then if you want to be a teen who cares, the last thing I want to encourage you to do is care about choices that you make. You're making some of the most important choices that you will ever make in this world during your teen years. Some of you have witnessed some of your friends at school making poor choices. They don't care about grades. They don't care about their lives. They think it's their life and it's not going to affect anybody else, and you want everybody to leave you alone. Care about your choices. It's easy when you're young and healthy to think that nothing is going to happen to you. All the things that happened to all these old people, all the things that even happened to my close friends will never happen to me. So many young people gamble. They take chances, risks with their future, and they do it regarding study. It won't matter. It won't matter. I don't know if Brother Gardner's in this room today or not, but one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me in my life happened, and the words that hurt me came out of his mouth, but he was doing his job, and he was doing just right. I was a lousy student in high school. Slept through high school. In fact, I was a lousy student as a freshman. Jan's grinning now because she sat and talked to me, and I said, why would you want to make good grades? And I would show her what I thought the nerdiest nerd on campus looked like, and I said, is that what you want me to be? Is that who you want to marry? And I would tell her a C is as good as an A. And then one day, I was on a committee to select who's who for college, in colleges and universities in America. The very first person nominated was Roy Sharp. Brother Gardner used to like to run his hand through that hair, and he ran it back and said, well, as I've heard him say many times through the years, and he says, Roy is not eligible. My grades were pretty good at that particular point for that semester. But my clowning around and my failure to study kept me from being listed among who's who in American universities and colleges because, you see, I didn't care. Failing to study is taking a risk that you are going to miss out on something that you really need. When you think about work habits and we're lazy and we don't understand why our parents want us to do things, we don't understand why we need to be who our parents are asking us to be, we take risk with work habits. You all have seen some of your friends at school. I doubt if there's a teenager in this room who does not know at least one person who's dabbling in drugs, who may be seriously involved in drugs or alcohol, the most common drug. I doubt if there's a person who is in the teen group who doesn't know someone who's dabbling with sexual behavior that is wrong, and you know it's wrong. And when you start thinking about your friends dabbling in those kinds of things, they're taking great risks. And then those of you that are old enough to drive, and those of you that are not, you know of teens that take risks with driving in an irresponsible way. You see, we need you to make good choices because we love you. When we ask those of you who are driving to drive safely, or when we ask you to think about your sexual behavior, we ask you to think about your study habits, we ask you to think about alcohol, we ask you to think about other kinds of drugs, it's not about us trying to hold you back and keep you from enjoying life the way you see some of your friends trying to enjoy life, because I can tell you, their life is going to be full of misery. Make good choices. Joshua 24 and verse 15 is a very powerful passage. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, whether the God of your fathers served, or that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Teenagers, nobody, no preacher, no elder, no Bible teacher, no parent can force you to make good choices regarding following the Lord. That will be you and you alone. In the reading that Garrett read for us a while ago, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, and the following passages talk about what's going to happen to you. Your eyes are going to grow dim. Your teeth are going to become missing. Your limbs are going to become shaky. You're not going to be the person that you are today. And God is wanting you to make the choice to remember Him. Remember Him in your youth.